L'Officine Universelle Bully presents Ancient Beauty Rituals. Episode 10, The Dream of Queen Zeynep. How the Berber Queen planned for the expansion of the Almoravid Empire, Marrakesh 1072. Soothsayer, witch, Jinn's companion. The rumors that had surrounded her in and around the city of Agmat. Zeynep laughed out loud at the memory of her early youth when she was married to the Emir of Agmat, a small city and a melting pot of trade and culture. When Agmat was attacked and conquered by the desert warrior Abu Bakr, he married the beautiful widow Zeynep. However, tribal revolt in the Sahara required him to head into the desert. Knowing Zeynep would not be able to handle the hardships of desert life, he divorced her and remarried her to his cousin and lieutenant, Yusuf ibn Tashfin. They would go on to rule lands stretching from Morocco to Spain. Wife of Kings was another moniker she was known by. But then, it wasn't so often that a woman was so reputed across lands for her matchless beauty, wisdom, and the explicit announcement that she would only marry the man who could reign over all of Morocco. Born into a Berber tribe, one of the many in the region, she dreamt of a unified state and marrying a man who had the capability of translating it into reality. Emir Yusuf, come look how beautiful my orange grove looks. The fruits will soon be ripe for the picking, Zeynep excitedly called out to her husband. From atop the terrace of their palace, the much-in-love couple looked down at the grove within the palace premises and the upcoming city of Marrakesh beyond. Their shared dream, where pink mud-brick houses, mosques and markets cohabited with desert tents. The peaks of the Atlas Mountains were silhouetted far away in the light of the setting sun. Yusuf ibn Tashfin was her fourth husband, but her first true companion. Treating her as an equal, he completely trusted her with state affairs, taking her guidance at every step. Your dream is finally coming true, my enchantress, he spoke tenderly. In political circles, Zeynep was being called the magician, or the enchantress, because of her impeccable negotiation skills that had helped Yusuf consolidate his control over Marrakesh and conquer areas of Maghreb, the region that included Morocco, Algeria, and Spain. Zeynep looked at him with a smile. I dream of a flourishing city with hundreds of such fruit orchards. A city fit to be the capital of the empire you will build. Hence, we must hasten our plan for the irrigation system in the city, Emir Yusuf. But now it's getting dark, we must retire to our room. Back in her well-appointed yet austere room, the beautiful Zeynep let her attendant, Kahina, take care of her bedtime ritual. The attendant brought her a basin of warm water and a small bowl of the black Beldi soap, which she carefully massaged on her face to cleanse it of the day's impurities. Rinsing the soap off, she delicately removed Zeynep's hair ornaments, loosening her long, beautiful black hair. Pouring a few drops of Zeynep's favorite oil onto her hands, she ran her fingers through the queen's hair, expertly massaging the scalp, and then gently her face. Completing her bedtime ritual by cleansing her teeth with a siwak twig, Zeynep finally slipped between the sheets for a restful night's sleep. Creating the city of her dreams was no easy task. The historical region of Morocco has witnessed migrations into its borders for centuries. However, its indigenous people have been the Berbers, the most ancient people of North Africa. The ancient historian Herodotus described the Berbers as warlike and handsome, natural cavalrymen, and a fiercely independent lot. Of these, the Almoravids, an Islamic Berber dynasty, ruled most of the region in the 11th century. After establishing an empire in Morocco, they eventually expanded to cover northwest Africa, western Sahara, Mauritania, and part of Algeria. The empire stretched from modern Senegal down south to modern Spain and Portugal in the north. And one Berber woman of significant influence, Zainab al-Nafsawiya, reputed for her wisdom, political astuteness, and breathtaking beauty, played a decisive role in establishing the empire. Berber people mostly had matriarchal traditions, and women were often revered as queens, warriors, and goddesses. Their women have also been the custodians of many ancient beauty and wellness practices, anchored in religious purification, cleanliness, locally sourced ingredients, and Berber traditions. Secret recipes and rituals have been passed down through generations of women. One of the region's most exquisite gifts to the world of self-care has been the much-revered argan oil, a beautifying remedy for multiple hair and skin concerns. For hundreds of years, this oil, extracted from argan tree's fruit, has played an indispensable role in the Berber's diet, rituals, and personal care. For centuries, Berber women have been cracking argan nuts and using millstones to produce this golden oil. Exclusively made in the Moroccan region, this prized oil has traditionally been used as a topical ointment to relieve dry skin, acne, wrinkles, skin inflammation, and hair loss. With a high vitamin E and essential fatty acid content, this hair and skin elixir has restorative and age-defying effects and natural sun protection. Local Moroccan herbalists suggest adding a few drops of fig oil and neroli essential oil to pure argan oil to feel divine and smooth for days. Another Berber treasure to the world of nature-derived beauty is the ancient Sabon Beldi, or the Moroccan black soap, also known as savon noir, a cleansing black paste traditionally made of black olive pulp. Sometimes, crushed dried eucalyptus leaves are also added for an exfoliation effect. The beldi is best scrubbed in with a goat hair mitten called the kese. The entire ritual leaves the skin deliciously soft and moisturized. Moroccans have also long used the goodness of siwak, an ancient walnut tree-derived natural toothbrush with naturally occurring fluoride and silica that prevents tooth decay, gum diseases, and acts as a tooth bleach. The following day, as the sun bathed the smooth mud-brick palace walls in its morning light, Zainab sipped on her favourite mint and cardamom tea in the verdant palace gardens, contemplating meeting with the city architect. The fragrance of the precious spice and the soothing warm tea transported her to a place of serenity. She envisioned Marrakesh as a city with beautiful buildings, public and private bathhouses, green landscapes, and thriving orchards of oranges, olives, figs, etc. The architect, Brahim, had found a brilliant solution to bring the arid region to life, by ensuring a regular water supply for the city's people and its orchards. Brahim, there you are, finally. Come have some tea and tell me how the underground water supply system is coming along. Zainab eagerly welcomed the architect as palace guards escorted him to where she sat. Brahim bowed respectfully and unrolled his scrolls detailing the drawings of the Kataras, or the underground water channeling system. He explained the innovative design of well-like vertical shafts connected by a gently sloping tunnel, which tapped into underground water and delivered it to the surface without the need for pumping. This is not all, Malika. The waters will be directed to the public and private bathhouses and released for irrigation from there after 3 days. This will ensure we do not waste any of the precious water. Brahim described his masterstroke of recycling the bathwater. Zainab could hardly contain her excitement at the prospect of her city's beautification. And this is how the public bathhouse will look like. Brahim laid open the hammam drawings with a flourish. Absorbing the layout, Zainab admired the efficiency of the architecture and the intelligent placing of rows of circular openings that let in natural light on the 3 vaults covering the cool, warm, and hot rooms. Berber women are the traditional carriers of water, Brahim. of life itself, and the female element is aligned with water. Both provide life and nourishment. I see you have beautifully brought alive my vision. You will be suitably rewarded. Zainab smiled, thanking Brahim for what she knew was history in the making. Satisfied with the ideas and the progress of the city facilities, Zainab handed a large purse of gold coins to the architect, a personal nod of acknowledgement for his ingenuity. Bathing is seen as beyond a cleansing of the body in Islam, and it is a ritual of purification of body, mind, and spirit. Prayers are offered only after the body has been cleansed. The bathhouses or hammams constructed by the Almoravids were masterpieces of engineering and beauty. They reflected the Berbers' deep understanding of the land and sustaining their resources through community participation. Public hammams were not just a place to relax, rewind, and bathe, but also a hub for fostering social relationships, catching up on local gossip, and exchanging everyday notes. For women, a visit to the hammam was a welcome respite from their daily chores, a weekly ritual of carving out time for themselves and their well-being, a sanctuary to bond with each other and be unself-conscious, away from any prying eyes. The relaxing rituals of letting the hot steam detoxify the skin and soothe tired muscles while scrubbing each other's backs with beldi and kese, sharing their deepest secrets, the hammam experience was much looked forward to. Rasul clay, sourced from a valley in the Mid-Atlas Mountains, was used to cleanse hair. Clays, packed with essential minerals and trace elements, are renowned for their healing, detoxifying, and absorbent properties. Women have used the reddish-brown Rasul clay, or Moroccan clay, for hair and skin care since the 8th century. With a very high mineral content, including silica, potassium, magnesium, calcium, it is exceptionally efficient at drawing out toxins, removing product buildup, and cleansing hair without stripping it of natural oils. Married women would also dye their hair with henna paste, prepared by mixing various hair-friendly herbs with the crushed leaves of the henna plant and some water. The paste, applied and left on the hair for about an hour, would be rinsed out. It left behind a beautiful auburn tint to the hair, while softening it simultaneously. Another way that henna was used for beautification was with intricate henna art or patterns traced on hands and feet. The tradition has thrived, and women continue to use henna patterns to decorate body parts. One November morning in 1072, Zainab received news that her previous husband, Abu Bakr, was returning to assess his cousin Yusuf's allegiance to him. A year ago, Abu Bakr, leaving a fledgling Marrakesh in Yusuf's capable hands, went to the Sahara Desert to thwart tribal rebellions and was now returning to reclaim his erstwhile position. However, in Abu Bakr's absence, Yusuf proved to be an excellent leader, ably supported by Zainab's wisdom. He had earned the love and respect of the city's subjects, and his reputation as a statesman of excellence had spread far and wide. Now, he and Zainab wished to continue growing Marrakesh with complete authority and control. But Abu Bakr's impending arrival had unsettled him. He turned to Zainab for her views on dealing with the delicate situation. Emir Yusuf, we must communicate our stronghold over Marrakesh without challenging Abu Bakr, Zainab advised her husband over breakfast one day. This will mean handling his visit very strategically, giving him importance without ceding any authority. I have a plan on how we can handle this, she continued. Yusuf agreed. He trusted Zainab's astute observations and expertise in state affairs. Our kitchen will prepare the choicest meals for Abu Bakr and his chiefs. When you meet him at the city outskirts, present the items as a gesture of welcome, along with other treasures and gifts. She planned to go to the souk and personally supervise the purchase of spices, herbs, and other raw materials for preparing the meals. She also had to buy some fragrance, oils, the poppy flower powder she loved to dye her lips with, and some choice silks. Kahina, please prepare for my visit to the marketplace tomorrow morning, Zainab gently instructed her attendant. Zainab loved the sounds and smells of the souk, walking through its maze of streets and alleyways, and visiting her favorite spice cellar and herbalist. The explosion of colors, with mounds of red, orange, yellow, and brown spices, delighted in the spice market, while the food stalls, with their tempting aromas, beckoned her to indulge. Beautifully decorated pottery, magnificently laid out kilims in the carpet stalls, and the thrum of metalworkers busy crafting items of utility and beauty, added to the exquisite, vibrant atmosphere. She welcomed the weekly outing, accompanied by Kahina and a handful of palace guards for her safety. The dried orange blossoms smell so fresh. Pack me some. And some dried lavender for my bath and mint to brew in my tea. She was like a kid in a candy store, wanting to touch, smell, and taste everything at the herbalist's fragrant store. Oh, and don't forget the crushed poppy petals for the lip dye. Yusuf loved to see her wearing the red-hued lip stain. Zainab smiled at the thought. Here, Malika, I have brought you some sugared nuts and honeyed donuts. You and the little prince growing inside you must be hungry by now. Kahina smiled indulgently, opening the twine-bound pack of confections and offering tempting treats to her pregnant queen. Thank you. And have you brought the spices? Zainab asked, popping a proffered sugar nut in her mouth. Yes, Malika. Cinnamon, cumin, turmeric, ginger, saffron, nutmeg, cloves, oregano, sage, and thyme. Kahina counted on her fingertips as she recited the list. A souk, or marketplace, in 11th century Morocco would have been abuzz with energetic haggling of buyers and sellers of seasonal vegetables and fruits, spices and herbs. Fragrances of dried herbs and flowers blended with cinnamon and clove, among others. Another section of the marketplace would have seen stalls of exquisite hand-dyed silks, hand-woven rugs and metalworks. Trader caravans travelling through the Sahara Desert and the Atlas Mountains on camels would bring curiosities and wares from faraway lands. Ostrich feathers, beautiful ebony wood, combs, ivory that would be carefully carved and crafted to make exquisite jewellery boxes. The apothecary stalls would have carried all kinds of local herbs, brews, potions and powders. Many served as the local physician, beauty and well-being advisor to their customers. For generations, Berber women have relied on nature-derived remedies to beautify themselves and take care of their skin, hair and well-being in the arid conditions of the land. Oils extracted from the argan nut and seeds of the prickly pear cactus are known for their deeply moisturizing and skin-healing benefits. With one of the highest amounts of essential fatty acids in any natural oil, the Miracle Prickly Pear Cactus Oil also contains tocopherols, compounds packed with vitamin E and free radical warriors, making for a very effective anti-aging product. Another ritual was the cosmetic use of dye from the red poppy flower, applied as a natural lip and cheek stain. Nowadays, dried and crushed pomegranate rinds or seeds are blended to add to the hue and physical benefits. The preparation, called akka fasi, is packed in tiny terracotta or earthen clay pots and lends a beautiful reddish tint while being completely natural and replete with antioxidants. Back from the souk, and in her simple and elegantly appointed quarters, Zainab sat on the recliner, putting up her feet on a cushion. Pregnancy had been tiring her out sooner than usual. The sun was beginning to set, and the candles in the room had been lit, lending her face a goddess-like aura in the fire's soft glow. The beautifully hand-woven woolen rugs on the floor added warmth to the austere room. She smiled as she thought back to when she had broken the news of her pregnancy to Yusuf 5 months ago. He had been over the moon, and the information had re-energized him to move forward aggressively with the Almoravid expansion plans towards Spain. He would leave a legacy worthy of his child. "Do you need anything, Malika?" Kahina softly interrupted her musings. "Please bring some lavender oil and massage my forehead, Kahina. I could use some relaxation before discussing the details of Abu Bakr's reception with Yusuf over dinner tonight. It also helps me sleep better at night." Zainab tilted her head back, resting it on the exquisitely embroidered headrest. Soon enough, Kahina brought two small gold-plated bowls in a tray with delicately filigreed edges, one with the soothingly fragrant lavender oil and another with some warmed-up olive oil. She knew her queen needed extra care these days, and she loved to fuss over her. Dipping her fingers in the lavender oil and then scooping in some olive oil, she gently massaged Zainab's forehead. She intended to give her a soothing foot massage with the oils. Suitably relaxed after the indulgent ritual, Zainab proceeded to cleanse her face with the Beldi and dabbed her lips with the red poppy flower pigment that she mixed with a couple of drops of olive oil. She knew the effect her tinted, soft lips had on Yusuf, and she blushed at the thought. A little later, as the couple sat to partake in their simple yet flavorful meal of hot vegetable tagine and couscous, they said a quiet prayer before eating. Midway through the meal, Zainab broached the subject of Abu Bakr's arrival with Yusuf. "Your cousin is much too pious to spill blood. When you meet him, leave out all marks of deference and humility which he expects from you. Pretend to be full of pride and to have a taste for autocracy as if you wish to be his rival. Nevertheless, flatter him by giving him rich gifts, robes of honor, and other precious gifts of the Maghrib. Offer him a lot of these, because he lives in the Sahara and thinks all that is brought to him from here are rare and curious items." Yusuf marveled at his wife's insightful nature and sound advice. He would be meeting Abu Bakr in a few days, midway between Marrakesh and Agmat. According to historical records, Abu Bakr arrived at Agmat on the 19th of November, 1072. The historic meeting between the two emirs took place midway between the two cities, around 9 miles from Marrakesh. They met as equals. The hierarchy had given way to mutual respect. On seeing Yusuf's armed entourage accompanying him, Abu Bakr accepted that it would be wiser to yield authority over Marrakesh to Tashfin. Meanwhile, to ensure Abu Bakr did not feel slighted, Yusuf Tashfin brought him riches and treasures that would make Abu Bakr's life in the desert easier. Records talk of 25,000 gold dinars, 70 horses, 70 swords, of which 20 were engraved, 20 pairs of gilded spurs, 150 choice mules, clothes of all kind made of the most delicate calico and fabrics. For fragrances, he offered aloes wood, musk, ambergris, and incense. The specific effect of fragrance essences or essential oils has been known across different historical cultures worldwide for millennia. Ancient Egyptians and Greeks used essential oils for ritual and healing purposes, as did the Chinese and Indians. Aroma essences derived from parts of plants, mainly bark, peels, and flowers, were used for therapeutic, cosmetic, or ritual purposes in baths, ambient perfumes, massage oils, or as medicine. Archaeologists have discovered evidence of the art of distillation in equipment found in Mesopotamian excavations. Secret recipes for salves, pastes, and incense made with purely natural oils have been deciphered, written on ancient Egyptian clay tablets. Morocco's geography and climate, governed by the Mediterranean Sea towards the north, the Atlantic Ocean towards the west, the Sahara Desert in the south, and its three main mountain ranges internally, make it a fertile land for growing aromatic herbs. For various benefits, Moroccan folk medicine widely uses the most popular aromatics from the region: lavender, mint, thyme, rosemary, and anthemis. Lavender essential oil is well established for its relaxation effects, while citrusy oils like orange blossom or neroli are known for their ability to invigorate and energize. On the other hand, thyme is used for antifungal, antibacterial, and antiseptic benefits. Rosemary is reputed to help in preventing hair fall and encourage hair regrowth. Anthemis, or chamomile, has long been used in Moroccan healing traditions for its anti-inflammatory, antispasmodic, and sedative effects. The meeting between Yusuf and Abu Bakr had gone as per plan, and Yusuf was delighted with the outcome. Abu Bakr had returned to the Sahara, officially transferring authority over Marrakesh to Yusuf. The success of the meeting, along with the anticipated arrival of a new prince, had invigorated Yusuf's expansion plans for the Almoravid Empire. With Zainab by his side, his confidence in his plans was strengthened manifold. Malika, I wish to hold a feast tonight to celebrate the amicable return of Abu Bakr to the desert and announce my plans for expanding the Almoravid Empire to regions of the north. I have invited our ministers, chiefs, and their wives. Please prepare accordingly. Of course, my emir. Your enthusiasm cheers my heart. I will ensure a feast worthy of kings, replied Zainab with a smile. After instructing the kitchen to prepare the choicest of dishes made of vegetables, meats, and grains, along with platters of desserts and sweets, Zainab returned to her room to get dressed for the evening. Kahina had prepared the bathwater with rose petals and lavender blossoms soaked in it. You will be relaxed and fragrant like a rose in bloom, my queen. She poured some warm water over Zainab's tresses. Bathed and dressed in the finest cotton and silks, Zainab dabbed some rose water on her wrists and neck. She then gently opened the intricately carved bronze bottle of kohl. Taking the applicator with the exquisitely carved head, she lined her beautiful black eyes with the midnight black powder, accentuating the mysteries within them. Carefully tracing a black line from the middle of the chin to her lower lip, and then on the bridge of the nose, she asked Kahina to fetch her some ambergris to perfume herself with. Finally, wearing a silver diadem, a piece of jewellery wrapped around the forehead, decorated with dangling coins and embedded with amber, along with a matching amulet, Zainab looked every inch the ethereal beauty and the queen that she was. It was time to meet the guests. It was also an opportune moment to share her plans for Morocco's expansion. Berber women have long embellished their beauty in multiple ways. Among these, the most distinctive is their ancient facial and body tattoos tradition that identified their tribe and the different phases in their life: womanhood, marriage, and motherhood. Symbols like triangles and half circles were common, with meanings related to strength, energy, fertility, healing, and protection from envy. Another use of colour on the body is the particularly charming ritual of applying kohl to both beautify and, as per traditional medicine, protect the eyes from harsh sunlight, sand, and infections. Contouring the eyes, giving a beautifully mysterious and alluring aura to the wearer, is common in Berber, Semitic, Muslim, sub-Saharan African, and South Asian cultures. Today, many cosmetic brands have their lines of kohl and eyeliners inspired by it. Traditional kohl was initially made from the ash of frankincense and later from ores like powdered antimony or galena. Today, the composition is with far safer ingredients. Apart from nature-derived cosmetics and cultural symbology, jewellery is another hallmark of Berber women. Crafted chiefly in silver, with colourful beads and semi-precious stones, their jewellery is not just adornment, but their economic wealth. Splendidly made headbands, bracelets, amulets, and necklaces worn by the Berber women are a sight to behold. Before the partaking in the feast began, Zainab and Yusuf addressed the guests, congratulating them on the progress the city of Marrakesh was making. The Almoravids must now look at expansion while continuing to fortify and develop Marrakesh. Queen Zainab has very ably assured an efficient system of water supply to sustain our people, our fields, and orchards, We must now look at unifying the tribes to the north, Yusuf announced to the gathering of his ministers and chiefs. Zainab, a beautiful vision of wisdom, grace, and quiet power, spoke to the men. Focus on the strong tribes, and do not waste time and energy on the weaker ones. When the stronger ones become your allies, the rest will follow. She then looked at the women and continued. You are the ones who will strengthen our country from within by sharing your concerns, raising your voice, and educating your girls. Our women will have a say in how this country is governed, and their wisdom will serve us well. Nothing would get in the way of her plans to expand the empire and make Marrakesh an ideal capital for the Almoravids. Neither the brutal desert setting, her previous husband, patriarchy, or any other hurdle. Her son will be at the head of a thriving city she intends to place in the center of Almoravid's map.
You have listened to the last episode of Beauty Rituals Through the Centuries from Officine Universelle Bully. You can find our other stories on all listening platforms.